Okay. We're holding here Kuf Yud Gimel on the base. We have mentioned about putting on special Shabbos clothes, which is actually halachi, should have special Shabbos clothes. So it starts speaking about also that besides clothes that should be different, also the way you speak should be different, the way you walk should be different. We actually mentioned two things about Mitzoy Cheftzecha V'Daber Dover, getting involved in your own needs and speaking your own way of speaking. And what's the difference between the two? So Rashi described it, Mitzoy Cheftzecha means, inspecting your property to see if it needs to be fixed. V'Daber Dover means to talk about your business. Tosis wasn't so happy with that. Alter Rebbe actually in Shulchan Aruch brings the differentiation based on Rishonim. I didn't look up which Rishonim it is. Then Tzoy Chavtzecha means when you're planning something for after Shabbos, and that's not allowed even if it's not a malacha, and even if you're not saying it in a very clear way, you say it in a hint. It doesn't help if it's you're actually planning in, as in recruiting workers, etc. But David Dover is just time to speak about your business, not planning. Speaking about what you're going to do. Speaking about your plans, not actually making the plans happen. And there, the only issue is if it's actually a malacha. And there, if you say it in an unclear way, then you get away with that because you're not actually arranging it. You're just discussing, you're speaking about the fact that it's going to happen. That's the difference. Okay. So now in the Gemara, we're going to talk, Tosfos brings, and Alter Rebbe actually mentions it in the Geres HaKodesh in Kuntos Acharon, that V'daber Dover in Yerushalmi explains, in the Medrash in Yerushalmi explains, that it means not to talk too much B'chol in Shabbos. To the extent that Yerushalmi says, that even to say hi to people was like, you know, B'doichek. They said, you know, okay, we have to let people say hi. But otherwise, you don't just stop speaking on Shabbos, you have to learn Torah and Daven, you don't just schmooze. Good. Fine. So now the Gemara is going to try to figure out, what does it mean not to walk on Shabbos like you walk in the weekdays? How would you walk differently? So we're holding the second line on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Bishlam Akula, I understand all of the above, speaking, planning, etc. L'chayi, makes sense. Gizum Tereit. Ela shelo yehi luchecha b'Shabbos ki luchecha shel chol, not to walk on Shabbos like in the weekdays, mayi, what is that? Answers the Gemara, ki hod amar avuna amar av, v'amru amar av abba amar avuna amar avuna, hoi mahalich b'Shabbos, if one was walking on Shabbos, ufoga ba'amas amayim, in his way, there's a channel of water, a small river, a small lake. Now, he could either walk around it or jump it over. So there's restrictions if you want to jump it over. Im yochel lo haniach es ragle rishonu. If he could put down the first foot, you're lifting one foot. If he could put it down, koydem shetiyokir hashniyah, before you lift the second, basically you're walking, you're not jumping, you're not leaping, muta, then it's fine. Vimlaav to leap over, asr. So leaping, jumping over is what's not allowed on Shabbos. That's called walking like the weekdays. So I think about it 1 second. The example you brought, I don't understand. Maskif la rove. Rava asked a very strong question, Hey Chili Avitz, what's the other option? Lake if, he should walk around the lake. Come up, ish bihilucha. He's walking extra. He's making himself work more in Shabbos. That's not a solution. Liavar, let him walk in the water. Zimnin, sometimes the mitav son money, his clothes will become wet. And v'asilu deschit, he'll come to squeeze it out. So, the best thing for him is to jump over the water. What are you telling him? Don't jump. It's walking like the weakest. We're trying to go into the water. We're trying to walk around. There were solutions. So he says, you're right. Ve'ela, you're right. But in this case, Kivan Daliyevsha, since he has no other choice, Shapir Dami, then it'll be fine. In other words, he agrees to the theory that you shouldn't leap on Shabbos. But when would you leap? Over a puddle? Over a puddle, you're allowed to because you have no other choice. Regularly, who would leap? What's the point of leaping? So it can't be that the pasuk is telling me you shouldn't jump on Shabbos. Why would I jump? Over a puddle? Yes, I should jump. So what is the pasuk talking about? So the halacha is true. Don't jump if not necessary, but that's not what the pasuk is talking about. Actually, he mentions in the Shulchan Aruch, that if you have people that are enjoy the actual running, then that would be fine. If it's so, if it's exercise and it's something which you want to do because it's healthy, but at the moment it's exerting, it's hard. It's not pleasant. Then it's not allowed. However, if the actual running, if the actual running is something which is a pleasure, then that is allowed. Fine, okay. But either way, so we're still trying to figure out what is this walking a mundane a week a way of walking which fits for the week and not for Shabbos. Ella rather could the dominate Rabbi Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi asked Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi, "Mao, what's the din? Live soya psia gaso b'Shabbos to go big steps, a step more than an amu. The space between the feet is more than an amu. Am I allowed to step like that on Shabbos?" Amr Lesi answered him back, "Vichi b'chol mihutra. Are you allowed to walk like that in the weekdays? Shani Yemer, I hold psia gaso. If you walk such big steps, neitelus achas mechamesh miyos. It takes away 1 out of 500 mimoyed einov shel adam from the eyesight of a person. Does it mean physically? Does it mean spiritually? I don't know. Umahadele, and if you get it back." From drinking wine of Kiddush Friday night. So Rashi teaches over here that it means if you drink from the wine. I guess if you just pass it around, that's good enough. In other places, Rashi says if you drink the cup of Kiddush, that might be the reason why there's more of a hinder by people to make Kiddush Friday night on their own than Shabbos day. It could be because of this, to bring back the missing eyesight if they have lost it. But although it's true that in the weekdays you're not allowed to, but in the weekdays you're not allowed to for your own benefit. On Shabbos you're not allowed to because it's not respectful for Shabbos. So that is what the pasuk is talking about. Not to walk large steps unless you're running to shul. Then it's a bar mitzvah, then it's fine. But if you're stamazah, you want to meet someone else and you're walking large steps, on Shabbos you're not allowed to. In the weekdays it's not recommended. It's called usher for your own benefit because you're not allowed to harm yourself. But on Shabbos you're not allowed to because of covered Shabbos. Right? Okay, now it sounds like since we mentioned the Rebbe asking Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi, which is unusual, we already had it earlier, that really Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi was like in a lower state, a lower madrega, so to say, than Rabbi. Rabbi was the Nasi, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi was a Talmud. But Rabbi respected his father very much, Rabbi Yosi, and therefore gave a lot of respect to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi. So it's another question which he asked Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi. Boy, me Rabbi, me Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi. Are you allowed to eat earth on Shabbos? They would have earth as some sort of remedy, but we'll see soon that it might be a remedy for some small things, but it's very harmful for other things. And it could be that it's a type of remedy which there's no grinding involved. And therefore, typically, you're not allowed to have any remedies on Shabbos because you might come to grind herbs. It's not herbs, and it's not something which they would typically grind. So maybe you're allowed to. That might be the question. Amar Lisa, again, he answered back, "Vichi b'chol mihutra. Are you allowed to eat earth as a remedy in the weekdays? Shani Yemer, I hold up b'chol loss. In the weekdays, also not allowed. Yimnei shuhu malke. It makes a person ill, and therefore you should not use it as a remedy. It should be banned. No, that's not the remedy you should use. You should use only other remedies, but not earth. Fine. We're speaking about eating earth. So Amar Rav Ami like this, if you're in Bavel, and I guess again, it was a typical remedy that they would give, take some earth. So he's telling you, in Bavel, don't do that. It's as if you're eating from the flesh of your forefathers, because Medina went down to Bavel, lots of them passed away as they were going, and they didn't have proper burials and anything, just disintegrated on the ground over there. So, although nothing's left now, and it's not halachically, it's not considered anything, but out of respect to your forefathers, don't eat from that earth. That's not respectful because they just passed away all over on the earth, on the way to Babel or in Babel as they were coming in. Yes, some say kilo eichel shkotzim u'dumashim, as if you're eating non-kosher animals. Why? Dichsiv, it says vayimach es kol ha'yikum. Hashem melted anything that existed before the Mabul. And V'amar Eish Lakish, Lama Nikra Shema Shinar. Why is Bavel called in the Torah with the name Shinar? Shekol Hashem as if shook out all the animals that were killed by the Mabul into Bavel. So basically they all fell there and disintegrated over there. So the earth in Bavel is like filled with the flesh of the animals which died in the Mabul, or the people as well maybe, that died in the Mabul. And Rabbi Yochanan, the same idea, Lama Nikra Shema Mitzula, there's a Navua which calls Bavel with the name Mitzula, the depth of water. Shekol Meisei Mabul, all the dead bodies of the Mabul, Nitztala Lulushom, like sunk into Bavel. Like it's a lower place, and like anything in the world, like all the dead bodies came to Bavel, right? So therefore, you shouldn't eat any of the food, any of the earth in Bavel. Now, I understand if it's talking about the forefathers, you know, it's not respectful for their memory, the fact they're eating the earth when they passed away. So that I can understand, but the fact that dead bodies of animals fell over there, there's nothing to respect. And they don't exist anymore. So what will be the issue of eating the earth of Bavel, because the dead corpse of the Mabul fell over there and disintegrated over there? There's nothing left of them. So the Gemara is quoting what we said before. Some say, as if you're eating non-kosher animals. The Havadis Machuyis Machu, they disintegrated, they're not existent anymore. Armani said, he answered like this. Really? Came on the Malki Gozru Bei Rabbanon. Rabbanon say you shouldn't eat it because they're harmful. The earth is harmful. The only thing is, they wanted, I guess, to scare people away. So they said, you know what? As if you're eating non-kosher animal because they once disintegrated with it. That wasn't the real reason. The real reason was because it's harmful. What's an example that it's harmful? Da'u Gavra, there was a person, Da'ochel Gargishta. He ate mud, like fresh clay. I guess he was very hungry. He's desperately hungry, and he ate some of it. And then afterwards, he managed to get some cress, and he ate some cress. The cress started growing on the clay in his body until it reached his heart, and it killed him. Umis. So therefore, it's dangerous to eat earth. And therefore, the Chacham said you shouldn't eat it, even if it had some healing qualities, you shouldn't eat it. And the only, I guess, wanted to tell people, don't do it. Say, the dead bodies of the Mabul disintegrated over there. But that wasn't the real reason. Okay. Now, we're going to a new subject. Since we spoke about having Shabbos clothes, so we're going to discuss the story of Ruth, which is related a bit to the idea of Shabbos clothes. Naomi tells Ruth the plan that she should go by night to Boaz's field. V'rachatz, wash yourself. V'sacht, you should smear yourself with good smelling oils. V'sam tzim l'sayach, and put on your clothes. What do you mean she's going to go without her clothes? She's not going to go with her clothes. Amar Rabbi Lazar, elu b'godim shel Shabbos. Put on your Shabbos clothes. They were very poor. They came with nothing from Moyav, but they had Shabbos clothes. They had the better, the nicer clothes of what they had were Shabbos clothes. So put on your nicer clothes. Put on your Shabbos clothes. So from here we see that even someone as poor as Rus was at that time had Shabbos clothes. You have to have special clothes for Shabbos. Fine. End of that. Now, since we spoke about Rus, we're going to start discussing about the story of Rus. Says the Gemara, Ten l'chocham v'yechkam oid. The Mishle says, if you tell a wise man something, he'll go a step further. He won't just stop with the wise, the good advice that he told him. He'll go a step further. Amar Abilaza Zurusa Mayavia v'shmul Ramosi. Two people were very smart, that they told him something and they went a step further. Rus and Shmuel. Rus, what do we see by Rus? Ilu Noami, her mother-in-law, Kamrullah told her, V'rachatzt, wash yourself, V'sach, smear yourself with oils, V'samsim l'saych alayach, dress with your nice clothes, V'yoradet ha-goyden, and then go, what do you call it, to where they thresh the grains in the field. What is a word for it in English, goyden? Chip in, please. A goyden. None of the word. Okay. One second. To the threshing floor, okay? To the place in the field where they thresh. So go down to the threshing floor with after you washed yourself, you anointed yourself, and you put on your nice clothes. Now she didn't do that. When it comes to the story, it says first she went down to the field. Only then she washed herself, she anointed herself, she dressed nicely. Why? She's going to walk down the street, nice, smelling nicely and dressed with very nice clothes. It would raise concerns. What is she doing? They know she's not married, and they know she's going out, towards the evening, all dressed up, would raise suspicions. And therefore, she said, no, why should I raise suspicions? Let me go into the field. Let me get ready over there. So she was smart. She was a smart, more than what her mother-in-law told her. Shmuel. Where do we see that Shmuel was smart a step further? The Elu'eli Karmar La'ili told her, Shchav, lie down. Told him, I'm sorry. He heard a noise. It was the first time he had Nevuah. He heard a voice. He didn't know what it was. He thought it was Eli calling him. So he said, Eli, he called me. He said, no, I didn't call you. Twice already he heard the voice. So Eli told him, Shchav, lie down. If you hear the voice again, you should say, David Hashem, speak Hashem. Because your servant hears you. Because he understood that he's getting Nevuah. Now he didn't do that. When it actually happened, the voice came again. Hashem came and he stood over there. And he called again, Shmuel, Shmuel. Shmuel said, Daber, speak. Because your servant is listening. But he didn't say, Daber Hashem. He didn't say, Hashem, speak. He doesn't know. Eli had experience. He didn't. Eli told him that it's Hashem. And what if it's not? What if it's some, I don't know, Ruach of Klipper, I don't know what? I'm not going to say Hashem. I'm a doubt. Speak. Your servant's listening. Just in case. I don't know. So he was playing safe. And that was his own wisdom more than what Eli told him. Okay. Back to Rus. She went and she came and she gathered in the field. One second. First she went to the field, gathered the grains, then came back. Why did she go and gather in the field? What happened? She went and she saw the group coming in. She said, no, I don't want to hang around these people. And she went back. She waited around, came in again. People weren't actually, she didn't like hanging around those people. Until she found decent people that were going to gather the grain. She said, okay, now I'm safe. I only want to hang around to gather the grains with the people, the decent people, decent edel people. Fine. Continues the story of Ayimar Bayez Anari. Bayez told his servant, Hanitzav al HaKoytzrim, which was in charge of all those that were cutting the wheat. From who, from which family is this? Is this girl? Is this maiden? Is this, what do you call it? It's an older girl, like a... what's the proper word for it? Proper translation. because it's going to be negiah for later. One second.
Young woman.
Young woman. Yeah. Who is this young woman? Now, that's a bit strange. Boaz was the Nasi, the head of the Sanhedrin. And he's telling his workers, who's this? He sees a girl over there, a woman. And he says, a young woman. He says, who is she? What's your business? Mind your own business. Yeah? Does Boaz ask about girls, like who they are? They stick to their own and you mind your own business. Amar Rabbi Lazar, no. He saw Dvar Chochma Robo. He paid attention not to her natural beauty, not to anything else. He paid attention to her knowledge of Torah, of mitzvahs. And we'll see soon some more things. Dvar Chochma Robo. Shnei Shibolim Liktav. She saw two grains on the floor together. She picked it up. Shleish Shibolim Eino Liktav. She didn't take those three together because that's the halacha. If three together fall, doesn't belong to her. Now most poor people gathering the grains are not that knowledgeable, especially not the women. They didn't learn Torah. And she knew to take two and not three. So he saw a girl that knows these halachas, is something impressive. Again,
it's a sheath of wheat, not a grain. Grain
right.
is a
true. A stalk of wheat, right? True. So if she saw two stalks of wheat, she took them. If she saw three, she left them. That's the halacha. So she knows the halacha. That's a chiddush. She's like, what's a girl that knows the halacha so well? Who is she? Masnisatan in the Braise it says devar tznius rabo. He saw that she was extra tzniusnik. Oim dois mu'umot. The stalks that he forgot to cut, and therefore she was able just to pick them while she was standing. She picked them. However, noifles, it was on the ground. Miyushub. She didn't bend down, which wouldn't be so tzniusnik. She actually sat down to the floor to lift them up to be totally covered and totally unexposed to be extra tzniusnik. So he said, ah, if she's acting so fine, so able, that's impressive. That's something to think about. Then he tells her, he talks to her and he tells her, you should cleave to my young women, to the young women that work for me. Does Boaz cleave to women? Now, what does that mean? He wasn't cleaving to her. He was just telling her to cleave to the other women. So some people have the gear, so ledaber imanoshim. Does he speak to women? Why is he having a conversation with her? Or some say, no, he shouldn't use the term tidbakim. He shouldn't use the term cleave when he's talking to a girl. Cleaving can have the connotation of marriage, being very close to her. So therefore, he shouldn't use that while talking to a girl. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Lazar came on the Chaza, since he saw, or he heard, and he knew, that Vatishak Arpa Lachamayisav Ruz Davkaba, that Arpa said goodbye to her mother-in-law, and Rus cleaved to her. So he saw that she was a sincere Giyoris. Amar, he said, Sharili Dabuki, but you can cleave to her, you're allowed to marry her, she's a reliable Giyoris. So he was telling her this word to hint to her, that you should know that you'll be accepted amongst the Jews because your gear is 100% authentic. We know that. Everyone knows the story. And therefore, just he threw in that word just to give her that hint. You're accepted. Your gear is accepted. Fine. When you have to come to eat Gishialim, come here. Amr Abi Lazar Remez Ramazlah, he was hinting to Rasid Malchus be David Lotzis Simcha. The kingdom of David will come from you. I mean, the kingdom which will last by Yidden, if he knew the word David, but the kingdom which will last by Yidden will come from you. Because later on in Tanakh it's mentioned about the kingship of David, the word haloim, to hear. So he used that word, binavua, to hint to her that David's family will come from her. Shenamar, as it says, that the king David came, and he stood before the Arin, the place that he set up on Har Habayis before the Beis Hamikdash was built. And he said, "Mi anoichi Hashem, Adni Hashem, who am I, Hashem? Umi Beisin, who's my family? Beisani Adalim, that he brought me to here to this covid, that I should set up I should be the king. I should set up the study place for you." So he was like so humble, and he said, "Who am I that he brought me to this place?" So he used the word haloim. So Boaz was hinting to Rus, the King David will come from you. Fine. V'taval pitich b'choymes. It tells her you should dip your bread into vinegar. Why are you telling her that? Amar Rabbi Lozim, mikan she'achoymes yofel ha'sharof. He was giving you a good advice. It was very hot. And if you take vinegar, it helps. Rav Shmuel Nachmeni, Amar remez ramazla. He was hinting to her. Asid bein lotzis v'mcho. You'll have a child that comes from you. Shemais of kashim g'choymes. That is, his behavior is like vinegar. Umanoi, who is that? Menashe. There was a lot of kings from Beis David, not all were tzaddikim. Menashe, like, really took it far. So you know, you have the kingship of David coming from you, but you should know one of the descendants will be like vinegar. They stood at the side. So he sat down at the side of the ones that were harvesting the wheat. She wasn't sitting amongst them. Remez Ramazla, he was hinting to her, Shasidu Malchus be David Shetischalik, the kingdom of David will be divided, they won't have the full kingship, so Yes, you'll have the kingship, but sit on the side. Vayitzvat lakoli, he took for her some roasted kernels of wheat, and he handed her some roasted kernels of wheat, and the pasuk says vatoichal, she ate, vatizma, she was satisfied, vatoisa, she had extra. Amar Rabbi Lazar, he was hinting her something. Vatoichal mi David, she got the first reward in David's time. David was the king. Vatizma, she was satisfied. And Shloimeh's kingship was amazing. That was a real reward for her. Vatoisa, she got even extra. Chizkiah was even after that, and he was such a strong and successful tzaddik, and such a successful king. And that was like the extras that she got after the full reward and being satisfied from the reward. Some say Vatoichal mei David u mei Shlomo. It's all included in one. Vatizba mei Chizkiah. Vatoisa mei Rebbe. She got extras in Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi's times. Domar mar ahirine de Rebbe. The one at the stable man of Rebbe, Hava Asir, was more rich mishvur Malka than the king of Persia Shvur. Rebbe was very, very rich. He was very respected by Antoninus, the king of Rome, and Yisrael was under Rome then. And he himself, he was very rich to the extent that even his stablemen were richer than the Persian king. So that shows how respected he was. Tanan the bright, as Nisa Tanan the bright, it says, Vatoichal Beilu Mazeh. Vatizbali Meisa Mashiach, on the Melech HaMashiach, so it's also from her. Vatoisar Lashid Lavoi, the extras will be the stage afterwards, after Tchias HaMesim, Olam Haba, which will still be on the Mashiach, but that's like extras, extra reward, more than, like much more than satisfying her for all her good deeds. Fine? Okay. Since we mentioned a machloikis between Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeini regarding a pshat in a pasuk, so it's being a different pasuk that also they have a machloikis. It's a pasuk speaking about the army of Sancheiriv. The army of Sancheiriv all died in one night without any human intervention. So the pasuk describes it with tachas kvoidei. Under their honor, yikad yikoid, there will be a fire burning, ki koidesh, like burning fire. So what does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yechanan v'tachas kvoidei, under their honor, v'loy kvoidei mamish, and not the honor itself. And what does that mean? But Rabbi Yechanan l'tamei, Rabbi Yechanan holds like his opinion that Rabbi Yechanan kardi, he called the money to close mechabdus, he does not give honor. So their body was burnt, and their clothes remained complete. Tachas kvaydi, the body under the clothes was burnt, but the clothes itself stayed intact. Rabbi Lozer even no. The tachas kvaydi mamish. So two things. First of all, kvaydi, he says, does not mean clothes. Kvaydi means his body. Tachas doesn't mean under. Tachas means instead of. Instead of their body, all that will be left will be ashes. So he's basically saying they were totally burnt. There'll be just ashes left. Now Shmuel ben Achmeini amar no. Tachas kvoide means like this. Kvoide means the body. But tachas means under. Not the body itself, only what's in the body. Kisreifas b'nei Aaron. Interesting comparison. Just like b'nei Aaron, Marla Halon, Sreifas and Shama of a guf kayim, the neshama was burnt, but the body stayed totally complete. Afkan by Sancheiriv's family, by Sancheiriv's army also, Sreifas Neshama v'guf kayim, the Neshama expired, the Neshama, their life force, whatever you call it, was went out, but the body stayed complete. Nothing happened, they just died, just the way they are. Okay, so to summarize, we spoke about walking on Shabbos. What does it mean? You should not walk in Shabbos like you walk in the weekdays. So one thing, it means not to jump. But it doesn't mean over a puddle, because if that's the only way, then you should do that rather than walking in the puddle or walking around the puddle. Don't jump regularly, but why should you? So it means don't walk big footsteps, more than an amu. Although on the weekday you shouldn't either, because it's harmful for your eyesight. It takes away 1 out of 500. Not even 500 steps, don't take it away, because each time it's 1 out of 500 or whatever is left. Fine. So, but either way, it takes away 1 out of 500, then you get it back by drinking wine from Kiddush Friday night. But that's only a good advice. However, on Shabbos, it's an Isser Mitzvah Kovet Shabbos. Now, he spoke about things that are harmful, so he spoke about that there's a remedy of eating earth. So there's a question if that's allowed on Shabbos. That was Rebbe asking Rebbe Shmuel, but Rebbe said that's another thing that he asked before. He said, earth? Never eat it. Because it's harmful, even in the weekdays. Now, we brought down the Reish Lakish and Rebbe Yechon were saying, not Reish Lakish and Rebbe Yechon, I'm sorry, Rebbe Ami said, that you're not allowed to eat the earth of Bavel for two reasons. Either because the bodies of the people that went down to Bavel fell over there and then disintegrated over there, so it's not respectful for them. Or because all the corpse of the Mabul fell over there and disintegrated over there, it's as if you're eating treif. It's like, oh, come on, the bodies of the Mabul are long gone. What treif is there? Yet you're right. Really, the reason was because it's harmful. He just said, because it's treif. Why is it harmful? So he says that there's a person that ate some clay for whatever remedy reason, then he had some cress, and it grew in his body, and it killed him. It went to his heart, and it killed him. Fine. Then we spoke about Shabbos clothes. We spoke about Terus, that she put on special clothes, which was the Shabbos clothes. And she was extra smart to get all dressed in the field, not to walk in the street while she's all dressed. And she only went into the field when there was it's near stick of people going over there. And Boaz asked about her because either he saw, because you're not supposed to ask about girls, but since he saw that she knew the halachis about the leket, and that she was actually tzniyastik, so he wanted to know who she is. And then he told her to cleave to the girls that were working for him. Now, why did he use the word cleave, which is not an appropriate word to use when you're talking with girls? Because he wanted to hint her that she can cleave amongst Eden because he knows that her gayness was genuine. She stuck to her mother-in-law even when her sister-in-law left. He wanted to hint to that. Then he was hinting her that she will have David coming from her, but she'll have a Menashe as well, and there'll be a division as well. All these things were hinted in how he told her where to eat and what to eat, was all those hints. And then at the end, he gave her the roasted wheat to eat, to be satisfied, and to have leftovers. So the showing in three stages in a reward and coming from David. Either David Shloim Chizkia, and Rebbe, which was so rich, more than the king of Persia, even his statement was more than the king of Persia. Or it's today, these days, whoever came from David, Yimeisa Moshiach, and Loyalim Haban Tchias HaMeisim. Then we spoke about the burning of the army of Sancheiriv, which is three opinions how they died. Either their body burned, but the clothes were complete, or everything turned into ashes, or that only their neshama, their life went out, but their bodies were totally intact.
Shkach.
See that. Second.